Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus of Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem. The end of the second parak, Ein Ma'amidin, and the beginning of the third parak, Kol Tzlamim.
The Zichu Masechus of Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son, Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah.
So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah in the previous daf taught that tarsha in a trufa, a type of small fish, which is not minced, is permitted to eat. Abraisa explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar, all whose head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rav Huda says this means, ad shetehei rosh v'shidra nikar, it's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. Both are challenged by a mission which states that the signs for kosher fish are fins and scales, implying there are no other signs. And the Gemara answers that this refers to particular species, Arim Palmuda, whose heads are similar to those of non-kosher fish. Ula said this machlokas is only a tabu b'tziron, to dip into their brine, whether the possible non-kosher fish would be biblically nullified, but begufan, regarding eating the fish themselves, all agree that both the head and spine must be discernible. Rav Papa concluded, Hilchasa ad shetehei rosh v'shidra nikar shel kol achas v'achas. The halacha is that taras cannot be eaten unless the head and spine of each and every one are recognizable. Point number two, Rav said, Kirvei dogim v'ubaron ein nikachin el min ha-mumcha. The innards of fish and their roe may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. Ula objected that roe should not require identification because Abraisa states, Dog tame mashritz, a non-kosher fish bears live young, and only a kosher fish produces eggs. Rabbi Dosa Abiri said to remove roe from of statement, but Rabbi Zera answered that both types of fish produce eggs, but the non-kosher fish hatch inside the mother's body. The Gemara said kosher eggs can be identified based on their shape or the location of their yolk in the egg, and Rav explains kishini muhu, the cases where the roe is dissolved and cannot be examined, and therefore may only be purchased from an expert. If there is no expert, Rav Yehuda says it may be purchased from a seller who says, ani molachtim, I salted the fish myself and saw they were kosher and these innards are from them. Rav Nachman says he must actually show the fish from which he took the innards. And point number three, the third parak begins, Kol Tzlamim Asurim. All human images are Asur Bahana, Mifnei Shehen Ne'avadim Pamachas B'Shana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chamim say, Eino Asur El Koshiesh B'Yado Mako Tzipor or Kadur. An image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Mishum Gamliel permits any image which has anything in his hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited. Rabbi Yochanan explains that in Rabbi Meir's location, they would worship all the Tzlamim once a year. Therefore, Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, who is concerned for a minority, Gazer Sharmakomos Atu Osomakom, decreed to prohibit all locations whose practices are unknown based on his location, because of the remote possibility that those locations are like his own. The Rabbanan are not concerned about Miyuta, and so did not prohibit locations which are not known to worship Al Tzlamim once a year. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that tarsha in a trufa, a type of small fish which is not minced, is permitted to eat. Abraisa explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar, all whose head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rav Huda says this means, ad shetehei rosh v'shidra nikar, it's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. Both are challenged by a mission which states that the signs for kosher fish are fins and scales, implying there are no other signs. And the Gemara answers that this refers to particular species, Arim Palmuda, whose heads are similar to those of non-kosher fish. Ula said this machlokas is only a tabu b'tziron, to dip into their brine, whether the possible non-kosher fish would be biblically nullified, but begufan. Regarding eating the fish themselves, all agree that both the head and spine must be discernible. Rav Papa concluded, Hilchasa ad shetehei rosh v'shidra nikar shel kol achas v'achas. The halacha is that taras cannot be eaten unless the head and spine of each and every one are recognizable. Point number two, Rav said, Kirvei dogim v'ubaron ein nikachin el min ha-mumcha. The innards of fish and their roe may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. Ula objected that roe should not require identification because Abraisa states, Dag Tamei Mashvitz, a non-kosher fish bears live young, and only a kosher fish produces eggs. Rabbi Dosa Abiri said to remove ro from Rav's statement, but Rabbi Zera answered that both types of fish produce eggs, but the non-kosher fish hatch inside the mother's body. The Gemara said kosher eggs can be identified based on their shape or the location of their yolk in the egg, and Rav explains kishini muhu, the cases where the ro is dissolved and cannot be examined and therefore may only be purchased from an expert. If there is no expert, Rav Yehuda says it may be purchased from a seller who says, Ani molachtim, I salted the fish myself and saw they were kosher and these innards are from them. Rav Nachman says he must actually show the fish from which he took the innards. And point number three, the third parak begins, Kol tzlamim asurim, all human images are asur b'hana, mifnei shehen ne'avadim pamachas b'shana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chamim say, an image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rishon Gamliel permits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited. Rabbi Yochanan explains that in Rabbi Meir's location, they would worship all the tzlamim once a year. Therefore, Rabbi Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, who's concerned for a minority, Gazer Sharmakomos Atu Osomakom, decreed to prohibit all locations whose practices are unknown based on his location, because of the remote possibility that those locations are like his own. The Rabbanan are not concerned about Miyuta, and so did not prohibit locations which are not known to worship all tzlamim once a year. All right, so now we got our siman daf mem, and our standard siman relates to mayim, water, and we use a pool for the siman. So here goes. At the little fish swimming pool where tar she'ina trufa was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usur bahana. Once again, slow motion. At the little fish swimming pool. Pool. That must be round off mem, mayim, pool. At the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshay and Atruva was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that Tarshay and Atruva, a type of small fish, which is minced, is permitted to eat. Abrice explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar, all whose head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rafuna says, this means, achite rosh v'shidra nikar, it's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says, it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshena Trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, which reminds us, Rav said, Kirbe dogim ubaron e nikokin elamina mumcha. The innards of fish and their eggs may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshena Trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usur bahana, which reminds us, the third parak begins, Kol tzlamim asurim, all human images are asur bahana, mipnei shehen ne'avadim pama'akas b'shana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chamim say, Eino asre el koshiesh biyado mako on sipor kandur, an image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prohibits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited. So once again, at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshena Trufa was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was Asur Bahana. All right, so now it's time for four Blabak Hazara.
Daf Lamed Vav. So the Siman Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The royal advisor who thrust a lulav, that must be on Daf Lamed Vav. The royal advisor who thrust a lulav and a bottle of idolater's oil as a sign to forbid it, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that an Akum's oil is prohibited in consumption. Rav explains that Daniel decreed against it, but Shmuel says, Shel zilifa sam kelim asurim osartan, the missions of flavors from forbidden utensils prohibits their oil. So the royal advisors who thrust a louv on a bottle of idolatrous oil as a sign to forbid it was informed by a group of rabbis that their decree regarding oil was rescinded because most Jews did not accept, which reminds us the ban of oil was revoked because in Gozrin Gezerah HaTzibur, we do not enact a decree for the public, El Imkin Rov Tzibur Yochon Lamud Ba, unless most of the public can withstand it. A pasuk describes the Gezerah being accepted by Hagoy Kulo, the entire nation, implying it must be feasible for the entire nation in order to take effect. So the royal advisor who thrust a louv in a bottle of idolatrous oil as a sign to forbid it was informed by a group of rabbis that their decree regarding oil was rescinded because most Jews did not accept it. So they choose to use louvim to block entrances in order to prevent Jews from going into Yichud with Benos Hakum, which reminds us that Rav listed Benosehen, their daughters, among the Shmonasar Davar, enacted by the Talmid of Shammai and Hillel. The Gemara ultimately concludes that they decreed against Yichud, seclusion with an Overes Kochavim, which was not included in any prior Yichud prohibition. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Siman Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. During the heated laser tag match, laser tag, that must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. During the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when does a get all Tanai take effect if the husband died guaranteeing the Tanai's fulfillment. So during the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped, when he was caught in the crossfire in the Shechita zone between the Tumas Mashkin de Rabban and Tumas Mashkin de Raisa teams, which reminds us, Yossi ben Yoezer ruled, the Mashka Bey Mitbechaya Dochen, the beverages of the Shechita place in the Mikdash are Tahor. Rav says, Dachem Mamash, they're literally Tahor and cannot contract Tumah. He holds Tumah's Mashkin Durabun, Tumah of liquids altogether is rabbinical, and was only enacted for ordinary liquids, but not for those of the Bei Mitbechai and the Mikdash, which are entirely Tahor. Shmuel says, Dachem Molatame Acherim, they are Tahor insofar as they cannot be Matame other things, Aval Tumah's Atzman Yeshbehen, but they themselves are subject to contracting Tumah. This is because Shmuel holds Tumah's Mashkin Duraisa, Tumah contraction of liquids is Midaraisa and therefore applies universally. Latame Acherim, the Rabban, but their ability to be Matame others is only the Rabban, and this decree was not enacted for the liquids of the Bei Mitbechaya. So during the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped, when he was caught in the crossfire in the Shechita zone between the Tumas Mashkin Durabun and Tumas Mashkin Duraisa teams, the referee told a player who wasn't sure if he touched the corpse when it landed outside that Safek Tuma Bershusa Rabim Tahor, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Yosi Ben Yoezer's lenience for a Tumas Mace, that Safek Tuma Bershusa Rabim is Tahor. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Siman Daf Lamed Ches is a double lach, a liquid, and we use soup. So here goes. The Yid who bought vegetable soup, that must be on Daf Lamed Ches, a double lach. The Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechol Chai, which reminds us, Rav says, Kol Nechol Kamoshu Chai, any food which is eaten raw, for example, fruit, Einbo Mishum Bishui Ode Kochavim, is not subject to the prohibition against foods cooked by idolaters, even if he did cook it. This is how Rav's ruling was taught in Surah, but in Pumadisa they taught the following version. Kol She'enu Nechol Shulchan Malachim, Lalefes Bo Zapas, any food which is not eaten at the king's table to accompany bread, meaning it's not a dignified food, is not subject to the prohibition against Bishul Akum. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechol Chai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer, which reminds us, if an Akum burned down a meadow, all the kosher grasshoppers which were inadvertently roasted in the fire are permitted because we say he intended only to expose the ground to the meadow, not to cook. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechol Chai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer, and asked his friend to light the Goysha baker's fire so he can top off his meal with a fresh loaf of bread, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that a Jew may place meat on top of coals and allow an Akum to come turn it until he returns from the Beis Knesses of Beis Midrash, and there's no concern of Bishul Akum. Although the Akum's actions hasten the cooking process, it's still permitted, since it would have eventually cooked on its own without the Akum's involvement.
Daf Lamed Tes, so the Siman Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes.
The Yid who refused to take chiltis on the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, mailman, letter, that must be more on Daf Lamates. The Yid who refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, who used his letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis taught that a grain of chiltis of an akum is prohibited to eat. It's a plant with a very sharp flavor. The Gemara explains it's because he cuts it with his knife, which he had previously used to cut non-kosher food, and the food is transferred to the chiltis when it's cut. Although ordinarily the law is nosen tam lefgam mutter, where forbidden food transfers flavor to the detriment of the mixture, it is permitted, but in this case, because of the sharpness of the chiltis, it sweetens the fats on the knife, the havli kenosin tamo shebach, and is thereby like a case of transferring flavor to the mixture's benefit and is forbidden. So the Yid refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, who used his letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the eved of the chaver, who recently passed away, which reminds us the slave of Rabbi Levi would sell chiltis, and after Rabbi Levi passed away, Rabbi Yochanan was asked if they could continue to purchase it from him. He said, Avdo shel chaver haru kochaver. The slave of a chaver is like a chaver and may be relied upon. In a similar incident, Rav Huna bar Manyumi purchased chelas from the wife of Rav Amram Chasida and was uncertain if he could assume it was legitimate chelas until hearing that Shmuel ruled, Eshu's chaver haru kochaver. A chaver's wife is like a chaver. So the Yid who refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, he used his letter opener, which doubled, as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the eved of the chaver, who recently passed away, noticed a Yiddish mailman sitting on a mailbox near a goy milking cows, rendering the milk Chalav Yisrael, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists foods of an Akum which are permitted in consumption, beginning with Chalav Shel Chalavu Ove Kochavim Yisrael Ra'eyu, milk which an idolater milked and a Yisrael sees him. A brisa clarifies that a Yisrael may sit beside an idolater's herd, and although he cannot see the Akum from a sitting position, and the Akum may milk the animal and bring the milk to the Yisrael, who need not be concerned that the milk is not kosher. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you know that Rav says that any food which is eaten raw is not subject to the prohibition of Bishul Akum? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 2.
Which stuff do we discuss if all tzlamim are prohibited or only those with objects in their hands? That's on Daf. Mem.
Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that Yosef ben Yoezer ruled the mashka bei mitbechai is doch and is tahor, and we have machos what tahor means, which is dependent on the machokas whether tumas mashkin is metami deraisa or derabanan. That's on Daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we win the Beis Shem Beis Hillel decreed against having yichud with an avedas kochavim? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 5.
Which daf do we win that kirbei dogim u'barim, the innards of fish and their eggs, may only be purchased from a mumcha in identifying kosher species? That's on Daf. Mem.
Good. Number 6. Which daf do we win that Rav explains that Daniel decreed against the shemen of an akum? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you learn why pas akum is prohibited? That's on Daf. Lamed Hei. Good. Number 8.
Which daf do we discuss identifying kosher tarish and a trufa using the Rosh Vashidra? That's on Daf. Mem.
Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the various reasons given for the gezera of Gvinas Beis Unyaki? That's on Daf. Lamed Hei. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss Bishul Akum where the Jew participates in the cooking? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.